Turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured out water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus said to him, and answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who is betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If then I, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly I say to you, the slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones who I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me.' From now on I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Father, for the blessings that we have, Father, in you, and that we can meet around your table today, Father. And help us and guide us as we study today, and help us to be good examples, Father, throughout this week, and to be a shining light in a lost world. And we thank you for Jesus in his name. Amen. So there's a couple questions. We're going to kind of go over this passage in a couple weeks. But we're going to go over today. We're going to look at some reasons why Jesus, what was the reason that he was washing the feet of the disciples? And what was the kind of the custom, and why was this significant that he is doing this? And why would they have no part in him if he didn't wash their feet, or if they didn't allow him to wash their feet, as Peter had mentioned there? And the other thing would be is why are we still should we still be practicing washing feet today? Is there some customs or some religious teachings that do that, and they usually do it in connection with when they do their Lord's Supper. Sundays or Saturdays, whatever it is, they'll do that in connection with that, since this is when Jesus was doing that with his apostles here. So we're going to look at some of those today, those questions. But before we get there, we're going to kind of go through some things. If you look in verse 1 through 4 there, we talk about some notable things. There's the Feast of the Passover. Now this is the feast where this is when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and they had the Passover lamb. And so Jesus, realizing that this is and understanding, knowing that this is about the time when he is going to be be killed, when he's going to resurrect, and when he's going to ascend to heaven again to be with God, he does this in preparation for that, or prior to that, knowing that his time is short. Okay, he's doing that, and he's doing that. We're going to won't talk much about this week, because you could say, well, Jesus didn't ascend into heaven when he died, not until after he resurrected. So he could have done it during the 40 days there that he was on the earth after. Okay. Now, we're going to not talk about that this week. We'll talk about that more next week. But it is, I think, significant why he's doing it now in connection with instituting the Lord's Supper before he died, so that it will imply a little bit different meaning when we look at that next time. But as we're going here now, he takes a towel, he sets his garments aside, and he takes a towel, and he takes water in a basin, and he washes the feet. Now, in the custom, this wasn't just necessarily a Jewish custom. It was anywhere who would wear sandals when they would walk. Okay, in biblical times, and even before then, even earlier than when Jesus' times here, in New Testament times and such. But they would walk, and that was their, you know, not everybody walked. I mean, there's some different transportation or different transportations of modes of transportation, but walking was everybody would walk. Okay, everybody could walk, or if they could walk, they would walk. They'd get there somehow. But what would happen then is if they had open-toed shoes or open like sandals versus shoes, their feet would get dusty. So they would, when you went to someone's house or they had you for supper, you probably walked there or whatever it was. So there was a custom to have water and to have water available so you could wash your feet, because that was something that was a gesture of hospitality while you gave them a meal or whatever it was. You brought them into your home, you made them comfortable, you washed their feet because their feet would get dusty. And so that's what we see going on here. A couple examples of this we see in the scripture. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Now as I mentioned before, it wasn't just a Jewish custom that this happened, because these examples that we're going to show here are all prior to the Jewish religion being established. So in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham here in chapter 18, he sees this is right before Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed, and he sees the Lord appear to him while by the oaks of Mamre. And in verse 4, it says, Abraham went and talked to him. He said, "Please let a little water be brought out to wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will get you a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on, since you have visited your servant." So he brought that out. He brought the water basin or water out to wash his feet, and that was a sign of hospitality that he was giving to the Lord here and the angels who were with him. Yeah, it was something that was a custom. And again, Abraham wasn't a Jew, because he was prior to the law being set up. But he is doing this because that was a custom. They had their sandals on their feet. They'd been walking all day. It was respectful and hospitable to do that. Another time we see that in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 19. Now, this is where the two angels went into Sodom here. And in verse 2, they go to, and Lot is sitting out there. In verse 2, he said, "Now, behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night. Then your feet will be washed, and you rise early in the morning and go your way." So when the two angels were walking here, they came into Sodom. Lot, even Lot's custom there, he understood, hey, they're walking, their feet are dirty. It was a custom to be hospitable, to provide water for them to wash their feet. Next example we see, if we turn to Genesis chapter 43, Genesis chapter 43, Now, prior to this, we have the, if we recall, where Joseph's brothers had come back. Joseph had been sent into slavery, sold into slavery to Egypt, and then he had, with God's help, been risen to the second in command in the Egyptian empire. And so his brothers came here, and we know the story where he had that correspond with them. But in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 43, it says, and he said, "Be at ease and do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your fathers has given you a treasure in your sacks." This must be the wrong verse. I must have wrote the wrong verse down. But Joseph somewhere, I think it's in verse 24. Did I say 24? Yeah, just the 24. Then he brought the man back into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys fodder, and he goes on. I must have just read the wrong verse. Anyway, so Joseph did this here as well, Genesis 43, verse 24. He brings them in. He gives their donkeys stuff to eat, but he gives them feet or water to wash their feet. Okay, so again, it wasn't just a Jewish custom that this was happening, because we see a lot of these examples had happened prior to the Jewish religion being set up. Now, on the other side of that, if you didn't provide water as to wash your feet, that would in some ways be a sign to of you're really not welcome, or a sign of disrespect. You know, one thing that pops to mind, remember we're not going to go to this passage, but remember when Jesus, that the lady came in and he was at Simon's house, and she came in and she cried and washed his feet with her tears. And then he turned, and Simon's sitting here and he's saying, "Man, if he just knew the type of woman that this woman was touching him, he wouldn't let him touch her." And so then Jesus says, "Simon, I came in here and you didn't give me any water for my feet. And she's washed her feet with my tears. You didn't give me a kiss, but she hasn't ceased kissing me since she's came in here." And the idea is she saw and she respected who Jesus was, and she understood who he was. And again, maybe limited still a little bit, as we know that prior to the new covenant being began. But she understood that Jesus was worthy of honor. And Simon, being the proud guy that he was, obviously didn't think it was very honorable, or didn't think he needed to give him water to wash his feet. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 19. So another thing would be, not washing your feet would also be a sign of some type of mourning. So 2 Samuel chapter 19. Now, prior to this, Absalom, which is one of David's sons, had tried to take the kingdom from David. He'd ran David and his people out of the palace, and he had overtaken the palace. And then they go to battle, certain battles, and Absalom is killed. Okay, so Absalom's dead. And David is weeping for his son Absalom in the first verse of chapter 19. But in verse 24, now, I practice this name, so if I don't get it quite right at the beginning here, just understand that. So verse 24, the Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had neither cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day that the king departed until they came home in peace. So David is mourning here. He didn't care for his feet, it mentions there. He didn't trim his mustache. He didn't wash his clothes. I mean, when Jesus talks about people fasting, he says, when you fast, don't fast in public. You know, wash your face. Don't fast so that people are looking on you of what you're doing, okay? And so when he's saying here, when David's fasting here, when he's not clean, he's mourning. I mean, what did Job do? You know, he tore his clothes and he was dirty. You know, they weren't caring for themselves, and we have the same, you know, the same kind of thing. Not really the same kind of thing. We understand that because when someone's mourning, you know, not all the time is looking the best, the top priority. I mean, they're hurting, they're mourning. Okay, so not having your feet washed was sometimes a sign of mourning or fasting, or it would also show that people didn't respect you. Turn back to John chapter 13 then. John chapter 13. So when Jesus goes here, we'll start being back in verse 5. He poured out water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. So they didn't understand exactly what Jesus was doing here. I mean, this one that they had understood and I think they've known him for more than 3.5 years, but up to this point when they've been with his ministry and he's been going for 3.5 years, they know him, they've learned to understand who he is. They've already said that we understand that you're the Son of God. They know who he is, but now he's washing their feet and they don't really understand why that is, because that's really not always the custom in the correct custom. I mean, it's a custom to wash in feet, but it's not the proper custom for the head of a house or the master or the king to wash the feet of the servant. So Peter asked him, you really washed my feet? And he said, you're going to understand this after. You don't understand it now, but you understand it after. Verse 8, he says, Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. See, Jesus was a servant. And we're going to understand why he said that here in a second here as we keep reading on. But we'll skip down to verse 12 here. But Jesus was a servant. Okay, so he kind of explains a little bit in verse 12, or in these next few verses here. In verse 12 he says, so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. Turn back to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Let's kind of keep John 13 in the back of your mind there. When Jesus says he is an example there for what they should be doing, this is going to add a little bit to this, maybe from Matthew chapter 20. We're going to pick back up in verse 20, just to kind of give a little bit of a background of why this comes about and why he says what he says in verse 28. But we'll start in verse 20. He says, the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and one on your left. But Jesus answered, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? They said to him, we are able. And he said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit at my right hand and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called to them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be the slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we see that James and John here, their mother comes and requests that they can sit one on his right and one on his left. Okay, so you see some not the best intentions here from the mother or from the sons. You know, that hey, one of them can be on your right, one of them can be on your left. And so Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. You know, are you willing to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And another gospel, he says, are you really to be immersed with the immersion that I'm going to be immersed with? And that's not the actual water immersion there that he's talking about. He's talking about his suffering that he's going to go through. The cup that he has to drink when he says, Father, let this cup pass from me. And he prays that three times. He's talking about a cup of suffering. Now, are you willing to go through what I'm going to go through? Because they wanted to do, just like going back to when Satan tempts Jesus, he wants Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple and the angels to come catch him. He wants him to do that prior to him suffering, prior to him going through what he came to do. He wanted him to take grasp of what of the kingdom without going through the suffering. A similar instance would be David's friends when they were saying, hey, kill Saul and the kingdom's yours. And Saul and David's like, no, I'm going to let the Lord do that. Okay, he didn't take the kingdom outside of the parameters that God wanted him to take the kingdom. Jesus didn't get the kingdom and get all authority outside of the parameters that God had wanted to have to him to do. And so when these guys here, they're maybe wanting to have the authority without the work, or in the terms of what we're talking about today, have the authority without being a servant first. Turn back to John chapter 13. In Matthew there we read that Jesus said that the Son of Man had not come to be served, but to serve. See, a king, a earthly king, that's kind of that idea that we get, is that the earthly king is being served by his subjects. The earthly king has the servants to wash the feet. The earthly king is, you know, has someone to even help him bathe. The earthly king has someone that brings him food or whatever. And Jesus says that I did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, Jesus did this as an example for reading in verses 15. He says, "For I gave you an example that you should do it, that you should do as I did to you." Even prior back to that in verse 14, "If I, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet," he says. So if Jesus is the Lord, and it is true, he said, "You call me Lord, you call me teacher," which is good because that's who I am. But if I'm doing this, then you ought to do this for one another. And if we don't, in the case here, if we don't allow him to serve us, how are we going to be willing and think that we want to serve one another? Sometimes it's good to be a servant, and it's something that we want to do. Just kind of side point, we need to be servants for sure. But it's impossible for me to be a servant if nobody's willing to let me serve them, right? So if, on the one hand, we need to make sure, and I want to emphasize being servants today, but we also ought to be willing to let someone else be a servant as well. Because if everyone's like, no, I'm the servant, I'm the servant, I'm the servant, that's just as bad as people saying, no, you serve me, no, you serve me, no, you serve me, no, you serve me. The same thing. No one's getting served. No one's being a servant. Same result as both ways. But in the case here today, when we're talking about Jesus being an example of serving them, if you don't allow me to do this, he says to Peter, you have no part with me. Because this isn't what he didn't come to set up uh, a top down, hey, who's going to serve the king? And then whoever's the next highest apostle after that. And then on down, and then on down, and then on down. That's not what he came to set up. He came up to set up the, those who are who have authority are to be the ones who are serving. In verse 17 of John chapter 13, it says, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, that we have not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." You could probably, you know, I'm not saying to change the word, but you could cross that over and use and insert the word serve there as well. Because when Jesus came to serve, because he loved us first. And if we're going to serve someone, we're going to have a love for them. Or else it's just a duty that we do and it really doesn't mean anything. And that's what I think a lot of things, people, when they actually kind of goes into the next point there, and the question that I ask is it something that we should be practicing today? So there's a, it's both yes and it's a both and it's no. So physically washing someone's feet is missing the point of what Jesus is trying to accomplish and convey here. Physically washing someone's feet is not something that, I mean, this was a custom that they had in the culture at the time, but it was a custom that showed a very lowly servant serving someone else. And that's why Jesus uses that. And that's why he uses some certain parables that he uses as well, because we don't have guys that just go and sow seed, throw it in the field today, but he uses the parable of the sower. Like, so there's certain custom cultural things that Jesus uses there for a deeper meaning as an example. And so when we're talking about washing feet, the point is that, I mean, we could say, well, yeah, we wash feet. Well, if we wash each other's feet, then that's all the service that we're doing. And probably most of the people who practice the washing the feet are not going to say, well, no, that's not what it actually means. So then it actually means something deeper than actually physically washing feet then. And they're trying to carry it out physically, washing feet physically, but that's not what that's missing the point of what Jesus is saying here. Because Jesus came to serve, and that is an example of serving, washing feet. Which one of us would really want to wash each other's feet? Even with closed shoes as we wear today, and sometimes that might be worse because, you know, everything is trapped, you know, all the sweat, you're walking and it's hot outside, you know, it might be a little worse sometimes. But see, washing the feet wasn't something that was just, it's not like one of those jobs, and every one of us has those jobs today that we're like, man, there's good parts about my job and there's bad parts about my job, and this is one of the bad parts about the job. I mean, washing the feet isn't really the best part of the job. I mean, I'd probably rather cook for the master than wash the master's feet. I mean, that would be kind of the level that I would have. And the point is that if this is a deeper spiritual meaning than just simply washing feet, think about maybe some serving that we have to do that's not very fun. See, it's not hard to do the serving when it's easy to do. It's not hard to serve one another when it's when it's fun to do. It's a little harder to serve one another when it's not fun to do. And that's why Jesus has this example, I think, is this isn't something that just was everybody just really loved to do this. You know, when people wash feet today, when they do it, and like I mentioned before, most of the time that I have heard, they usually do it before they have their Lord's Supper Sundays or whatever. Most of the people that they wash feet of have probably showered and stuff before they came, so it's not going to be nearly the implication that Jesus is even getting at here. At least I hope so. I mean, it depends. Teenage boys, maybe not. You know, that's a little different story, but Jesus is saying is something deeper, deep spiritual meaning than just simply washing feet. Sometimes the service isn't going to be good. Sometimes it's not going to be fun. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. But he still is asking us to do that because that's what he was doing. And as we're going to go into next week, because we're going to part two next week, he was also washing Judas's feet as well, knowing that Judas was going to betray him. Just a little teaser for next week to think about, mull over the week there. But it's not always fun. It's not always something that we want to do. Maybe even most of the time, serving is something that maybe we don't want to do. But if we don't serve, like if we're not an example like Jesus was, or if we're not doing what Jesus is an example for us, that's just as bad as saying, no, you're not going to wash my feet. If we're not willing to be served, we're not going to serve someone else either. If we had that heart. No. Why would I do that? Well, I've done a lot for him already. How much do you think Jesus did for Judas? So the heart of a servant doesn't always count what is in it for me. It's not, he's not giving it and expected to be served in return. Because we don't read about Jesus, the disciples washing Jesus' feet after this. In fact, I don't know if we, even the 12, we don't read about the 12 washing his feet. We have Mary washing his feet or anointing his feet with perfume. We have the lady in at Simon's house that cries and washes his feet. But we don't really have a record of the apostles washing his feet. And we certainly don't have a record of them doing it right after this. So Jesus is doing that, not really expecting anything in return, but because he had a good heart. And that's the key to service, is that if we can begrudgingly do something for a while, but after a while, we're not going to do it if we don't have the heart. And that's what Jesus is hitting home here. It's not about physically washing feet. It's not about, you know, well, can I do this and just get it done with? It's about who has the heart, a servant's heart, and willing to serve one another regardless of what the service entails. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the example that your son was for us, that he served us, Father. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And because he was a servant, because he loved us, Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for that opportunity that we have to be your children. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to serve each other. And Father, help us to have good hearts in doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.